Rick Waldman played a major role in Overbook's legendary chapter in thoroughbred racing, and he is now preparing for what he hopes will be a magical week in Louisville with his Wood Memorial winner, Resilience. And with that, it is time now for this week's Kentucky Bred Conversation, presented by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development and Breeders Incentive Funds. And before I welcome Rick to the program, a reminder that awards up to $3,000 a race are available from the Kentucky Breeders Incentive Fund for winning an allowance or maiden special weight race anywhere in the USA or at Woodbine Racetrack. And awards up to $4,000 a race are available for winning a non-graded stakes anywhere in the USA or at Woodbine. And that, trust me, is just scratching the surface. I'm going to tell you about more incentives right after this week's Kentucky Bred Conversation with Rick Waldman. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing extremely well. Got a chance to listen to that call of Grindstone winning the Kentucky Derby, running down Cavaneer. I want to ask you about that, and I want to talk about Resilience as well. But let's start with the news that came out yesterday, the passing of your dear friend and longtime client, Marty Wygod. That is very sad news. He was somebody who had a tremendous impact on this game and was a wonderful person, and my condolences, my friend.
Thank you. It's quite a loss to have. Marty and I, our business relationship grew much closer over the years, especially during the last 4 or 5 years when, coincidentally, with the with COVID coming in and immobilizing a lot of people, so it allowed our relationship to grow even closer. I'm grateful for that. I gained far more from Marty than I gave. I learned everything about life that I hadn't already known, which was quite a lot. From my association with him and friendship. I mean, I can't state that enough. He was such a caring person, and he cared more about my health and my personal life than all the other things that we talked about: horses, business, politics, everything else. But he really was a caring person to me, and I'd like to feel unique in that regard, but that's how he was with mankind.
Marty and his wife Pam bred and owned and raced thoroughbreds for more than 5 decades, Rick. And they had so much success doing it. What was it about Marty's approach to the business that allowed him to have so much success?
One word: passion. He had a passion. I assume he had a passion for everything that he immersed himself into. You know, at the top of the list, of course, was his family. But he loved breeding. He loved success. And he wasn't driven to beat this guy or beat that guy. He just liked winning, and winning was the measurement of the work that he put in. Breeding, he loved studying breeding, and of course, racing probably to him was, with homebreds especially, was more of the proof of the success of the breeding. Obviously, he liked to race and he bought horses to race, but he loved buying fillies that could be future broodmares for him. Hence the second dam of Resilience, Tranquility Lake, that his longtime farm manager, Russell Drake, picked out. And now you can see how this comes full circle.
Yeah, it's a tremendous loss on so many levels, and our condolences, our thoughts with the Wygod family and everybody who was associated with Marty Wygod, who has passed away yesterday. Rick Waldman with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, remembering his good friend and longtime client. Rick, let's turn our attention to what we saw last Saturday in New York and your resilience winning the Wood Memorial. Bill Mott, his Hall of Fame trainer, had to change his travel plans. He was set to come back from Churchill Downs on Saturday evening around 6 o'clock. Well, that's not going to happen now. He's going to have to stay there and saddle your horse. Pretty cool effort last weekend.
It really was. He came up to the race the right way. The Risen Star was his A Other Than. But obviously, when you look back on the top five finishers in the Risen Star, three of them won Derby preps over this two-weekend space. And then you've got a fourth one is Anna Marie, who's a very legitimate Derby possibility. So we ran in that race. It was a long ship, fairly close to the race. He hadn't run against winners before. And he's running against stakes winners. So he gave up a lot, as has been in every race he's ridden him. John Velasquez gave him an absolutely perfect ride. And I think he came out of that race a much better horse. We had been talking about the Florida Derby or the Wood, and Bill had him ready to run in the Florida Derby fortunately was able to keep him at that high level coming into the Wood. He vanned up to New York from Payson Park 6 days before the race. And Bill has Leanna Williford, who trains his barn up there. So he had an operation, which I'm sure was comforting for Bill to have his competent people taking the horse up to the race. And again, John gave him another perfect ride. He got a little squeezed on the first turn, but John knew the horse well enough to take him back. John had suggested putting blinkers on him after the Risen Star, and that might have helped squeezing out of that tight hold that the front runner put on us in the Wood. And Bill had him fit. He looks like, if you look at his confirmation, he looks like he likes the two turns. There's plenty of stamina in the family, and Into Mischief is just a real good fit with it, from a pedigree standpoint.
Yeah, Resilience bred by Pam and Marty Wygod. Kentucky bred, how special would it be if Resilience were to find his way to the winner's circle on the first Saturday in May? Rick, when did you first start to think, okay, we have something here, maybe we have a horse that is Derby caliber?
Well, it's funny. I've tried to go back and trace my steps. Now, Marty was the most optimistic person, especially when it came to the horses. So I'm guessing that after he broke his maiden, which was around the time that Marty gifted the horse to Emily and me, Marty was thinking Derby. Marty liked this horse all along, which is why he gifted us a horse that had great potential. I'm sure I didn't dispute the thought on Marty's part about running in the Risen Star and nominating him to the Derby. So when you do the combination of both of those things, you've got to be thinking maybe he can be. You know, legitimate Derby horses are horses that are improving on the first Saturday in May. It's hard to win the Derby or be prominent in the Derby without showing some improvement. So breaking his maiden on January 1 on a mile in a mile and a 16th race. And then each step you see improvement, and he for my money, he fits that pattern of improvement. And of course he's, he's in the hands of a trainer who is second to none on conditioning a horse to get up to a big race like that. When he ran fourth in the Risen Star, then we were seriously thinking of the Derby, like we do have a horse that is worthy of the next step. The rest is history. We're the fifth highest point getter on the Derby point standings, and he's had seasoning, which I used to think was the absolutely end all as far as being able to win the Derby, although a lot of lightly raced horses have been able to come up in recent years. But seasoning with all the distance races that he's had can't hurt his chances.
When Marty came to you and told you he was going to gift Resilience to you, what was the conversation like? What was your reaction?
Well, I was totally taken by surprise when he did that. So I can't – I was grateful, but I wasn't surprised because Marty was always wanting to do generous, kind things. Even if it was a food item that he liked that he would mail order for himself, a specialty food item, he would say, and I might be talking with him while he's eating this, he'd say, "I'm going to send you some." And he sent me some, you know, really nice foods. That's just where Marty's head was. You know, I'm enjoying this. I want you to. And I think this, the gift of Resilience is just a continuation of that. He was always caring. I mean, my personal life, that meant more to me than the gift of the horse, because I really think my ownership of Resilience, I'm just a steward for Marty. I see Marty. If he wins the Derby, I'll be ecstatic. But let me tell you, I'll be no less ecstatic or no more ecstatic than I would have been if I were rooting for the horse in Marty's ownership.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see myself. I really see this as Marty and Pam's horse. I do, and I appreciate owning the horse. If you would have told me 10 years ago you're going to own a horse going to the Derby, I'd think all these crazy thoughts about it. I don't think of those crazy thoughts anymore. I'm just really happy to be in the position. I'm happy Marty's entrusted us with this horse, and we're going to do the best we can to confirm he made the right decision.
Well, it's a beautiful story, Rick. Rick Waldman with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Let's shift gears for just a minute. We've got about 3 minutes left here in this segment before I have to get to another commercial break. Phil D'Amato coming up next to talk about Santa Anita Derby winner Stronghold. We heard the call from Dave Johnson of Grindstone running down Cavenier in the 1996 Kentucky Derby. You had the privilege for many years to be associated with another icon in our game, a wonderful person in William T. Young in Overbrook Farm. What do you remember about that day in 1996?
Given that you're limiting me to 3 minutes, I'm going to try to cut through all of the colorful things. It's because it's a great story. The Grindstone story.
Go ahead.
Is a
you know what?
Story.
We go take an extra couple minutes here because I do not want to deny our listeners of this story or myself.
Okay. It is just it really shows W.T. Young for all his goodness that he did, and he was warranted with the win of it. So the mare buzzed my bell. Overbrook paid a lot of money for, and she was a very fast mare, but she was kind of short legged, very deep body, strong, and we couldn't breed. We could, you know, trying to play God and breed more height into her. It's really difficult to do on short mares, but we kept trying tall, leggy horses. So Mr. Young had somebody grab his collar and get him to buy this season to Unbridled that the Derby Museum, that the Ginter family gave the Derby Museum. And, of course, Mr. Young would be the first one. I think it was Carl Pollard who might have been the chairman of the museum. he approached Mr. Young, and Mr. Young said, sure, you know. And then he says, boys, find a mare for the stallion. So, I mean, that's the science of breeding. So we ended up choosing the two. The mare was kind of getting to be a failure. So we did that, and then comes Grindstone. And he has a good two-year-old year. Breaks his maiden in his first start and then was fourth in the Bashford Manor. And then he had, I think he had three of his fetlock joints had chips. And so we took them out, which I forget which horse is on the Derby trail and had chips taken out. It's a miraculous training job. Might have been a deterministic. It's a miraculous training job for any trainer to be able to bring a horse back to even get on the Derby trail after that. But Wayne Lucas could do that. And so he wins the Louisiana Derby in March. And that time it was kind of, because there wasn't the gap between races as there is today, that was kind of a prep before the preps. And then Wayne runs him back in the Arkansas Derby. And he runs a really good second. It was an Arkansas horse that was on the lead, and we came from an outside post. I'm doing this all from memory, and ran a really good second. And all the smart guys in the Overbrook, on the Overbrook team are saying this and that. Let's do this. Let's do that. And Wayne says, "Wait a minute, guys. You don't know what it took to get this horse here." He said, "Let me just take it back." And he did, and performed his Wayne Lucas magic, which he did so many times, especially for Overbrook. And, you know, he comes, Jerry Bailey threads his way between the whole field from dead last or second to last. And the only time he led the race was at the finish.
Yeah.
I think he ran down Cavaneer, if I'm not mistaken, which is a fabulous story. And he chipped a knee. And never to run again. So he went from virtual obscurity. He wasn't on the radar per se to win the Derby, but he went from virtual obscurity to winning the Derby, and then right back to obscurity, and which made managing a stud career challenging. But that aside, it was just it's a great story about a great human who did the right humanistic thing, and then underscored by a training job that only Wayne Lucas could have done with this horse.
No, oh, what a great story. And by the way, the name of the horse that beat him in the Arkansas Derby, Zarb's Magic, the Louisiana bred, beat him by a neck that day, but Grindstone got by everybody a few weeks later in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I thought it was an Arkansas bred, but it was Louisiana bred. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. Yeah. Wonderful stuff. Rick, listen, I really appreciate the visit here. Again, my sincere condolences on the passing of your friend, Marty Wygod. Let's go get it done on the first Saturday in May. It'd be a wonderful way to honor Marty and to recognize him on that special day.
Thanks, Mike, for letting me express myself, and thanks for your wishes. We're going to go to the Derby, and we're going to, have Marty with us, and we're going to have a good time.
Yep. Amen to that. Rick, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right. Rick Waldman, always classy and so many great stories, and what a wonderful, wonderful ending to that beautiful life that Marty led, if indeed resilience can find his way to the winner's circle here in 3 weeks. Join me next Saturday here on the Equine Forum for another edition of Kentucky Bred, presented by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development and Breeders Incentive Funds, providing awards of up to $5,000 and $7,500 for winning a Grade 1, Grade 2, or Grade 3 race anywhere in the USA and in multiple countries, and awards of $200,000 allocated to the top 20 claiming horses in Kentucky with the most claiming wins in the Bluegrass State. Breed them, raise them, race them, we all win with Kentucky Breds.